of weeks from 2 Peter chapter 1. Why don't you turn over there with me? 2 Peter chapter 1. We are talking about what it means to be a Christian, what it looks like, what God is wanting to do in us as sons and daughters of God as we journey through this life. We have discovered that Christianity is not just about getting to heaven. Thank God it is about getting to heaven. Amen? Thankfully, we get to heaven, but Christianity is not just a journey to heaven. Christianity is a journey. It's a spiritual journey. It's a faith journey over which time you and I become more and more like Jesus. This is our destiny as believers, to become more Christ-like as we journey through this lifetime until we see Jesus face to face. And the Spirit of the Lord has been given to us to make that difference and change and transformation in our life. Peter writes about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses, just read with me 2, 3, and 4. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." God has given you everything you need, all the power that you need. He has given you the power to live a godly life. Okay? "Through the true knowledge of Jesus, who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them..." The promises of God, which by and large have to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit. When you get into the Gospel of John and the book of Acts, and Jesus talks about waiting for the promise. And then in Acts chapter 1, He tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem, wait for what the Father has promised you. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you today, brother and sister, that the greatest promise God ever made to us has nothing to do with material possessions and the things that God can give us in this lifetime. It has to do with the presence of His Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us, giving us new life and giving us power to live free from sin and giving us power to live a different way. This is the greatest promise that God has made to us. Look at it. He talks about it here in this fourth verse. He says, "By these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises." I've got 25 minutes to deliver a 50-minute sermon, and my tongue is going faster than my brain. So that by them, by those magnificent promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. God in His power has broken the power of sin to set us free so that we can walk and live free. This, brother and sister, is what real freedom is all about. This is 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend. We're celebrating the freedom of our nation. Brother and sister, there is a greater freedom to be found, even greater than the freedoms that we have as Americans living in the United States, and that is freedom from the power of darkness, freedom from fear, freedom from sin, victory over it, to live in righteousness, and walk in the blessing of God, walk in kingdom power and blessing, and then spend eternity with God. This is the greater freedom that God has given to us as His children. And let me just share this with you real quick. Let me share a verse from Proverbs that talks about this spiritual journey that we're on. And I'm coming back to Peter because we're going to look at the rest of that passage together this morning. But I'm reminded of this verse in Proverbs that is a picture of our spiritual journey. In Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18 says this, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Your King James Bible, I believe, says the path of the just, and then it talks about brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Here's the picture that he's painting for us. Just like the sun comes up, and as the sun rises, the day gets brighter. The light shines brighter until the sun eventually gets to its peak of brightness, and the perfection of brightness of the sun is shining forth to cover the earth. He's telling us that this is the same path. It's a picture of the path of righteousness that you and I walk. That just as the sun rises in Christ, we are risen with Christ now, and we are to walk a path of righteousness that gets brighter and brighter and brighter as we go along. In other words, the more we go through our life, we should be shining brighter and brighter for Jesus, which tells me you and I should be becoming more and more like Jesus as we journey through this course of life. Just like the path of the sun gets brighter, you and I should get brighter every day. Brighter in Jesus. More and more like Jesus as we journey through this lifetime. So we're all on a journey, and we're all at different places on that journey, but we should all be on a journey and all being changed by the grace of the Lord from grace to grace and faith to faith to be more like Jesus. Now, we've talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about what this journey is going to look like. And we've talked about it in the sense 2 weeks ago. We talked about it in the sense of the change of our speech, of the way that we talk. I'll just tell you, this is a good day for me to tell you this, because all my children are gone today. So this is a good day for me to tell you that when I was a teenager, I didn't talk very well. And I don't mean English. I'm talking like a sailor is what I'm talking about. I mean, I grew up in a day and a time and a people and a culture and a thing. And, you know, you, as kids, you just do these things. You talk a certain way. You say certain things. You use certain words. But when I came to Christ, I knew those things were not pleasing to the Lord. And God, by His Spirit within me, began to work in me and convict me of the way that I talk. Now, I worked in an atmosphere, in an environment that, quite frankly, wasn't conducive to change. Okay? In other words, I didn't get a whole lot of support in the changes that I felt like God wanted me to make in my life. But God was there by His grace and in His conviction to show me what was wrong and to how to do it right and to how to speak right and how to use words, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, to speak the truth but do it in love. And in Colossians chapter 4, to let my words be seasoned, as it were, with grace, so that my words are spoken in kindness. My words are spoken in gentleness. My words are spoken in sincerity and in love. And I'm using the right and correct kind of language in order to communicate the love of God as I speak. See, the Bible tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Most of us, if we would be honest, when certain things are said to us, we're more likely to speak a word back in retaliation, in anger, that really, rather than turning away wrath, probably throws gas on the fire and just makes the situation worse. But if we're allowing the Lord, and we looked at the scriptures, and I'm spending too much time here, but we looked at the scriptures that talked about how God wants to tame our tongue. How God wants to put a guard over our lips. That's why the psalmist said that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. So we talked about how change takes place in that realm of our life. We looked last week at the idea, go back over to 2 Peter with me, and we looked at this passage of Scripture, and we continued in verses 5 through 7, because what Peter does in verses 5 through 7 is Peter gives us a picture of what the new life is going to look like. Peter says, God has given us His Spirit. He has given us a new life, an ability to live a better life, a righteous life, a holy life. And then he says, now let me show you what that life is going to look like. And we read in verses 5 through 7 how he gives us in these verses of Scripture some characteristics of the new life in Christ, of real Christ-likeness. And we found this out. It says in verse 5, let's just read these 5 through 7 together, and we'll stop there for today. He says, now, for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And we interpreted moral excellence, your Bible may say virtue. We called it integrity. And we said what integrity means is that we make a decision, by golly, we're going to do the right thing for no other reason than just because it's the right thing to do. And we're going to do the right thing whether anybody else is looking at us, anybody else is noticing or not. We're going to do the right thing even if it costs us something, even if it hurts. We're going to do the right thing. This is the attitude of the heart of integrity. But now go on and look with me at the list of things that he lists for us as attributes of real Christ-likeness. He says, beyond that, beyond moral excellence, he says in verse 5, and supply in your moral excellence knowledge. And in your knowledge, supply self-control. And in your self-control, supply perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Now let me break this down for you and tell you what Peter's saying here. Peter's describing for us real Christ likeness. And by the way, my translation says supply these things. Your King, New King James, I believe says add to these things. Add to moral excellence, knowledge, and then all of these other things. The idea there, listen, the idea there is not that we are to produce these things in and of ourselves. The idea is that we are to give ourselves to God so that God can bring forth these things in our life, okay? We're given to these things so that God can produce them within us. So the second quality that he lists there beyond moral excellence, he says, in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your moral excellence, knowledge. Now the knowledge that he's speaking of here is the knowledge of the things of God. It's the knowledge of God himself and the knowledge of truth by knowing the ways of God. Now I want to say something to you. In this list of things, I believe Peter is presenting to us a progression of the qualities that come forth in the life of a Christian. Let me show you what I mean. He says the first thing, add to your faith integrity. Doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Got that covered. But what does that mean? In other words, what's right? How do we know what the right thing is? Well, in order to know what the right thing is, we have to have knowledge. We have to have knowledge of God, of His ways, and of His Word. Because His Word is the foundation of true right from wrong. And we've gotten away from that. We mentioned that a little bit in our prayer and in our time this morning. We've gotten away from that in our nation today. Today, America decides what's right and what's wrong by popular vote. And we have completely pulled out from under the foundation of our laws in America. We've pulled out from under that foundation God's Word, and we no longer base our belief on right and wrong on the Word of God. We don't base our laws on God's laws anymore. We base it on what people think. So that if you just get enough people to team up with you, you can change right and wrong. But see, right and wrong doesn't change from God's perspective. Right and wrong doesn't change. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, I didn't come to take away the law. In fact, he said, as long as the earth remains, not a single dot of the law will pass away. It will remain forever. God's word doesn't change. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The word of God is done. It's established. It's not changing. It's not moving. God doesn't change with the times. Our culture says, well, it's a different day. And we want to change with the day, and we want to change with the times. And the only way we can change moral standards is to remove the foundation of the Word of God out from under them. And that's what we've done. You know, I heard this past week that Germany has now passed a law that same-sex marriage is now legal in Germany. We see this spreading throughout the world. Nation after nation is going that way. Right and wrong is changing with the times because we're not basing our belief of right and wrong on the Word of God. It's just become popular vote. And I haven't got time to get into the rabbit trail that we've, or the Pandora's box that we've opened. Ed quoted the scripture for you earlier today. It's Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. God says, you may think you can change standards and morality, but you got another thing coming. And it's true. It's true. So we need to know the Word of God. Hosea 4 and 6 tells us, God says, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of my Word. And we experience destruction in this life when we base our standards for living not on what the Word of God says, but on what the Word of people says, on what popular opinion says. And so we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to add to our integrity the knowledge of the Word of God. Now look at the next one. It says in verse 6 of 1 Peter 2, 2 Peter 1, rather. I knew there was a 2 and a 1 in there somewhere. 2 Peter 1, verse 6, and add to your knowledge self-control. Now watch the progression. Watch Peter's progression. How many of you understand today that moral standards are changing because self is out of control? Self is out of control. We don't bring self in line with the Word of God. We want to give self whatever self wants, you see. And that's how we come up with the decisions that we're making. People don't want homosexuality to be sin, so we declare it's no longer sin. And we demand that everybody agree with us that it's not sin anymore. See? And the reason we make decisions like that is because self is out of control. And self wants what self wants. And self wants immorality. And self wants drunkenness. And self wants all of these kinds of things. And so we decide ourself. And every man becomes a law unto himself because our law is not based on God's law anymore. Let's, it's so hard not to go down this road, but listen to me, guys. When morality, when right and wrong becomes simply a matter of popular opinion, then anything can happen at any time. Whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
See, it doesn't matter what David thinks anymore. Only thing that matters is what 51% of America thinks.
Amen.
See? And now, David, you've got to accept that because everybody knows the majority's right. See? And that's what the world's coming to. That's what America is coming to. And this is the direction that we're going. Self is out of control. The Bible says in Galatians, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. In other words, when we give ourselves to God, the Spirit of God helps us to bring self under control. Christ-likeness then, brother and sister. Christ-likeness crucifies the flesh with its passions and desires. Christ-likeness disciplines its flesh and sometimes tells it no. Christ-likeness doesn't lower the standard. Christ-likeness, rather than demanding its rights, admits when it's wrong. Surrenders, repents, and holds to the standard of the Word of God. This leads us to the next characteristic. Look at it with me. From self-control, he said, in your self-control, perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance is patient endurance. Perseverance is the ability to stand up to the pressure that the world is going to put on us to change. How many of you know that if you're going to walk with God in this world, you're going to have to persevere and you're going to have to endure some pressure from the world that's going to want to make you change and line up with their standards instead of God's. So we have to let the Spirit of God give us strength so that we can persevere when the tests come. When everybody else is telling you that what you believe is wrong, and what the Word says is wrong, and the majority is saying another way is the way we're supposed to go, it takes perseverance, it takes strength, it takes grace to stand up and say, I'm going with God if nobody else does. How many of you understand it? It takes strength to go against the flow. It takes strength. It takes character. It takes perseverance to go against the flow and to stand for God. But it's what we're called to do in this lifetime. That leads us to the next characteristic that Peter mentions here in verse 6. In your perseverance, add to that godliness. Godliness is what he says next here, which in the context here means reverence for God. It's a reverence for God and a willingness to stand with God no matter what anybody else is saying, where anybody else is going. It means putting God's ways first. It means, listen, it means not being a man pleaser, but being a God pleaser. Peer pressure is one of the most difficult things for us to overcome in this lifetime. And not just for kids, but for adults as well. Kids have a hard time when kids are in school and they've been trained right from wrong, and a bunch of them in school, they want to go and do the wrong thing. It's very difficult for a child who has even been trained right. When everybody else wants to do the wrong thing, it's very hard for them to say no, because they want to hold on to their friends. They don't want to lose any friends. It's difficult for adults as well. You can be a Christian that wants to live right for God, and you get into a room full of people that have no interest in God, and it's very, very difficult for you to stand for God in that context. It's very difficult for you to not just cave in, give in, and go along with the flow of what everybody else is doing. Peer pressure is a tremendous thing. But listen, brother and sister, when we make the decision for godliness, that means, what it means is being reverent to God, having a fear for God, and a willingness to lean into God, and from God draw the strength that we need to be the person of God that He wants us to be. It means being a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. And boy, does that picture Jesus or what? You read the Gospels and they're always telling Jesus this or that, or wanting Him to do this or that, or go here or there, all these kinds of things. And Jesus says, I'm just going the way of the Father. What the Father says, that's what I'm doing. What the Father tells me to do, that's what I'm going to say. Where He tells me to go, that's where I'm going. He's just all about the Father and pleasing the Father. And He doesn't really care. Do you remember the story in the Gospel of John? We read it not too long ago. Jesus was teaching about the need of submission and surrender to God. And He talked about it in the context of communion. Eating the bread and drinking the cup and these kinds of things. And Jesus talked about it in the terms of His flesh, and the people didn't understand what He was talking about. They thought He was talking about cannibalism. They couldn't get it. They couldn't understand. And the people walked away from Him. This is a hard saying. We don't understand. And so they left Jesus, and they accused Him of all kinds of false teaching and all kinds of sins against Israel and being teaching against the temple and teaching against God and all of these kinds of things. Jesus looked at His own disciples, and you know what He said to them? He said, do you guys want to go too? Jesus, here's my point. Jesus didn't change to try to attract a crowd. He was going with God whether the crowd did or not. Okay? And that's the way you and I need to be. Not crowd pleasers, but God pleasers, and going with God. Doing what God says. Walking in godliness. When we walk in godliness, brother and sister, it leads us to the next trait, which he says here in verse 7, brotherly kindness. Because here's what's happening. When you and I begin to walk with God, and we begin to walk in the love of God, we begin to, well, first of all, we love God the way that we're supposed to. And an interesting thing happens when we love God the way that we're supposed to. We begin to love other people the way that we're supposed to. We love people the way that God loves people. And then when people say things about us and they do things to us, we don't retaliate in anger and in hatefulness, but rather we respond in love, and we show them the love of Christ, and we give them compassion, and we continue to walk in a heart of love and compassion with people. We don't try to berate people and judge and condemn people in order to try to get them to see things from our perspective and do things our way. Did you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance? I don't care how hard you hit with people with the Bible, you're not going to beat them into heaven. But if you be kind to people, if you love people, especially if you love people that are not very lovely to you, they're not very kind to you, you're showing a different spirit. You're showing real Christ-likeness. And that's a way to open a door and open an opportunity to be a witness in someone else's life. The Bible said that Jesus was a friend of sinners. If we're Christ-like, we will be friends of sinners too. That brings us to the final characteristic that he lists in this particular list in verse 7. And in your brotherly kindness, he says, love. This is the love of God. Always be loving. Always be caring. All the time. Serving. Helping. Forgiving. Laying down your life for the sake of somebody else. Seeing to it that other people's needs are met before our needs are met. Loving everybody all the time is real Christ-likeness. And it's what we're called to as believers. It is our destiny as Christians. Let me share one passage and I'm closing. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through the end of the chapter says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. And in other words, let your love be sincere. Let it be real. Don't just tell people you love them. Show them that you love them. Show them that you love them. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. This is the nature of integrity. You hate evil because you know how destructive evil is. You hate sin because you know the destruction it's going to bring to your life. Abhor it, turn from it, and hold on to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, devotion, commitment, care, and surrender to each other in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. See to exalting other people rather than trying to exalt yourself. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This is the love of Christ. This is Christ-likeness. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Somebody says something evil to you, say something kind. Right back to them. Wow. I got a whole message I want to share on that verse of scripture. It's too political for you today. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Don't exalt yourself. And don't limit yourself just to your peer group. Here's the problem that we have even in the church today, is that we only want to run with people that are like us. And we need to see everybody on the same plane. Everybody on the same playing field. Whether we're rich and successful or whether we're living on welfare and in poverty. Whether we seem that we've got our act together or whether we're struggling with issues in life. We're all in this thing together, brother and sister. We're all on this journey and we're all in this journey together. And from the perspective of the Lord, none of us is better than anybody else. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Associate with the lowly. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't try to get back at people. Don't try to get even with people. Be kind to people. If there's any getting even to be done, leave it to God. Let him deal with that. Let him be the judge. Don't try to be the judge yourself. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is true Christ-likeness. This is the life of love that you and I are called to as believers. Jesus said they'll know you by the love that you have one for another. This is our destiny as followers of Christ. Let's pray together. And Father, we know and acknowledge today that we all stumble and we all slip in various ways and in many ways. We don't live up to the standards that we read about in the Scriptures. God, would you help us today to not be content with our status quo lifestyles? God, may we be like the Apostle Paul, and may we desire to press into you and to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to be more and more like Jesus as we journey through life, to be more loving, to be more kind, to be more giving, to be more faithful, to be more humble, to be more submissive. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. May our lives be as the path of the righteous, like the light of dawn, that grows brighter and brighter to the full day of perfection. Lord, may we press to perfection in Christ. Help us to be satisfied with nothing less than your very best, revealed through us for the world to see. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together this morning and stay just a moment or two in an attitude of prayer as we bring our service to a close today. Thank you so much for being here on this holiday weekend and sharing this time together with us. Christ-likeness. My prayer is that God imprints that word on every one of our hearts and minds. Christ-likeness. So that with every decision, choice we make, every word we speak, every act we commit, our first instinct will be, is this like Jesus? Is this like Jesus? Father, make it so, we pray. Help us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, for this is our destiny as Christians, to live a life that's pleasing to you, glorifies your Son. Only by your grace are we able to do that, Father, and yet you have lavished your grace upon us that it might be so. Help us to cooperate with your Holy Spirit, Father, as he endeavors to bring forth the new man, that we might live for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for our church family that's with us today. I pray your blessing on each one. Lord, and over the next few days as we celebrate our independence and the freedoms that we have in this nation, Father, may we do so in Christ-likeness. May we do so with care. And Father, may we be safe in the way we celebrate. Pray for your hand of mercy to be with us, Father, and that you would watch over us. Thank you for your continued provision for us, Lord, each and every day. Help us today to be more like Jesus, that our light would shine, that the world would know. We thank you for it in his name. Amen. And amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today. And if we can pray with you personally about anything specifically in your life, please hang around and let us know how we can minister personally to you today. Let's sing together.